Folks, we're in Acts 10, 34 to 38, including and our catchphrase, salvation comes to anyone who believes in Jesus. Our memory verses, Acts 10, 34 and 35. Peter began to speak, "Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him." So, folks, the message this morning, the lesson starts out with the concept of inclusion. Kind of become a worldwide phenomenon, word for the day there. An all but absolute necessity in the clasp of our society and affinity for social networking. We think inclusion, very appealing, seemingly sensible, generally reasonable in the things that we do, education, business, and social settings. But, folks, we need to understand that inclusion is not, we're gonna basically succumb to general beliefs that are just not biblical. We kind of have to watch just a little bit. I came across this acronym, FOMO. Are you guys familiar? Yeah, I had to look it up. Yeah, very good. So FOMO is an acronym for fear of missing out. How about that? A worried feeling that you may miss exciting events that other people are going to, especially caused by things you see on social media. Wow. Yeah. You know, it has been used as a word basically since 2004. Actually made it into the Oxford Dictionary in 2013. I'm overjoyed to have a chance to speak with folks that I don't have to tell. So the dictionary is this book. it's nice not to have to go down that path. Usually when I do that in a class, they'll say, "There's an app." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not apt to use apps." So there you go. Sorry. Oh, man, things were going so good. I think about, excuse me, I'm sorry. I think about when I was a kid, my mom, "Well, Rex, if everybody else jumps off a bridge." I'm like, "Oh, man, I hate it when she uses phrases that have no response." And actually, given my dad, it's probably a good thing I didn't have a response, because he was pretty apt to make sure that I was being respectful. So good on him. So, folks, we see at our Mayberry moment, Barney Fife, Ernest T. Bass, they just wanted to be included, right? Whether Barney was upset at the fact that Thelma Lou wasn't going to, do what he needed them to do, and so they called the fun girls, which, they just had failure written all over it, but good old Barney. And he always dragged Andy with him. Interesting. When he sang in the choir, was the soloist, and just was not a good choice for the soloist. Once again, Andy bailed him out. Or maybe when he decided to go undercover, he felt himself to be the most qualified police officer in Mayberry. And so the shoplifters, where he actually became a mannequin and actually did a pretty good job with that, right? Ernest T. Bass, all he wanted to do was just be involved. Unfortunately, his methodology to do that was a little outside the box with, throwing rocks and bricks and dancing and screaming and carrying on. But folks, just because they wanted to be involved, the question that comes up is, do we really want to be included? And all too often the answer is yes, unless it's something that you'd think people would just be lining up. You'd think people would be lining up to hear the gospel, that they'd be lining up to be able to be included, when the roll's called up yonder. So FOMO, maybe there's something to it. I don't know. Our study today continues the great work that Toby and Marilyn laid out yesterday, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as we're finding our way to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit's preparation of Peter is interest to us this morning. And it's very interesting, never thought about this. Bister's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Sometimes things take me by surprise. I was looking at, this is actually not a very emotional setting, so I don't know why all of a sudden it's turned so. It's interesting to me that you see things that are going on addressing the needs of two individuals in completely different situations there. And oddly enough, it's the one who is being drawn, as the pastor said this morning, that seems to be doing the things that we would kind of hope we would do, right? Peter, nope, being Peter, he decides maybe now's a good time for me to argue. God bless him, great guy, and absolutely fabulous, the things that he did. But I think maybe there's a message for us in 2024 that perhaps we're all a work in progress. Maybe we're all a work in progress. And we certainly don't want to miss out on the progress. The miracles that Toby and Marilyn mentioned last week really demonstrate that God was with Peter. He was with him in a very special way. And Peter is kind of like all of us, you know. He jumps out, does the things that he thinks he's supposed to do, and then the brain kicks in, right? I have a strong awareness of that. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's ready, shoot, aim. So I kind of get the idea. And it's interesting to see Peter's growth throughout the New Testament. He's not aware of it today as we start out, but the Holy Spirit is preparing him to meet a Roman centurion. What could be wrong with this, right? So Peter's still in Joppa. He's staying with a man named Simon, who's a tanner by trade, which is absolutely unacceptable if you are a Jew, you know, because of the business that they do. Folks, the venue is changing. Praise the Lord, the venue changed, right? So Peter is in an area that is partially Gentile. Us folks there. The turning point in the history of the church. For the first time, we're going to see a Gentile be admitted to the fellowship. So we're going to look at two visions. And folks, I'm going to step back and say, you know, I've mentioned this a number of times in the past. Choices are going to be made. In this case, good choices. You know, God's going to give us a lot of them. With his help, we'll make good ones. Without his help, probably won't, right? Two visions. We see Cornelius, Roman centurion, a devout man, feared God, very generous, was very helpful to people in the area, a man of action. I like that. I've told you before, world's greatest procrastinator. Action is, we want to think things through. We want to make sure that we know exactly how things are going to come out. We want to put our hands on it. We want to control it. We want to do so many things that sometimes we miss our chance. More on that in a minute. He has a vision and is told, seek out Peter in Joppa at this individual's home. Amazing. Peter is at prayer around lunchtime. His vision shows heaven opening. A sheet comes down with four-footed animals and a directive to kill and eat. Kill and eat. I'm thinking, Dinah's actually this week, she's got a chance to go up with a group to Colorado. I don't get to go. So the better response would have been, aw. But laughter's good. You know, laughter's good anytime. You guys know what that means, right? Bologna sandwiches and pork rinds. I'm having them. I may have them every day. Some of those delicacies that are known to Texas that I don't get to have when she's close. Allegedly because she's looking after my health, right? Anyway, unclean. Peter immediately, just, you know, within his culture, Unclean. God, what are you doing? What are you telling me about? And the response comes back, time out, Peter. What I say is clean is clean. You can eat. And it's interesting. He has to tell him three times. I wonder if there's something magical about, or not really magical, but something interesting about three times with Peter. You know, I kind of would wish that I could get something in three times. You know, it takes me a little longer than that. But three times that we establish this, we see it. It's very significant because we see it here. We'll see it again in Acts 11. We'll see it again in Acts 15. Peter is being taught a lesson. And folks, there's four things that are going on here. Four individuals that have a choice before them. We've got the Roman centurion. We've got Peter. We've got the two individuals that Cornelius is going to send to Peter. And we see the Holy Spirit right in the middle of all of this stuff. The Holy Spirit has spoken to all of these individuals. They have no clue that they're in a conversation together. I've been there. You know, a lot of times I'm in conversations I don't know anything about, right? But the orchestrating event that the Holy Spirit has is I'm opening this up to the world just as I promised I was going to. And so, when we think of that, these things are going on. Separate cities, I know, you know, the pastor mentioned this with some of his great preaching over the last few weeks. Things are going on. You know, does Jesus actually have to go? Nope. You know, for us, we kind of think inside that box and we think, well, you know, maybe it would be convenient for him to. But then again, we're reminded he is God. We are not. And so omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I have something that's going on. You may not be aware of it, but I'm changing the game. If a wise person was talking to you, he'd probably use that phrase, paradigm shift. I try not to use that because for me, when someone said paradigm shift, that was my cue, time to have a nap, right? and so we're actually seeing things change for the better because we now get to be at the table. We now get to, because of the blood of Jesus, because he got up out of the tomb, because they decided to open this up. A game changer, right? And so you might guess Peter is kind of not really sure what's going on there. These individuals show up at his doorstep, tell him what's going on, and back he goes to see Cornelius. It's interesting, folks, the Greek, I'm probably going to goof this up. My Greek is about as good as my French, by the way, so... pat myself on the back for that. But proskenio, when Peter comes in, Cornelius down on his face, which Peter says, get up, I'm just a man. And it's interesting because, you know, if you'd asked Peter probably the day before, not a chance. I'm gonna see a Roman centurion. I think maybe if you see the things that Cornelius was doing, there that draw. That Pastor Scott was talking about this morning. He's seeking, and God's opening the pathway for him to be able to have the meeting of his life. And he says, I immediately sent for you, and it was good of you to come. So now we're all in the presence of God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord. So, big change. Offered to all, Acts 10, 34 through 36, through faith, Acts 10, 37 to 43, and acceptance found, Acts 10, 44 to 48. So folks, in your Bible, Acts 10, 34 to 36, Peter began to speak. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears him and does what's right is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Peter has an aha moment, as we like to say. For me, should have had a V8, right? All of a sudden, he figures out very quickly, no, this is for everybody. I'm in charge, Peter. You're not. I've got plans for you. Peter's words here are revolutionary. Right? He says, it finally makes sense to me, you know, what we're all about. Peter's words actually wipe away the prejudice and the indoctrination of generations of Judaism. You know, the Jews were not too enthusiastic about reaching out, right? And realistically, folks, we have to say the individuals they were reaching out to were not terribly enthusiastic to hear what they had to say. And so, you know, this is more than just a change in the history of the world. This is a lot of work that's coming along that's probably not going to be pleasant all the time. You know, God promised us He would take care of us. He didn't tell us we'd have a rosy way to manage it. And therein lies the rub for most of us. Am I going to trust God to take care of things? Or am I going to say, you know, I think we might could do this better, God. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. And we do that, don't we? I mean, maybe not out loud. Yeah, out loud. I don't know. For me, you know, a lot of times it's just like, you know, I've got this great idea. And I think about, you know, those crazy things that you conjure up in your mind, you know. God just shaking His head like, son, when? When? And which He would never ask when. He knows when, right? And He's not surprised. He's not surprised that Peter is having a little bit of difficulty here. He's not surprised with the actions of Cornelius. He's surprised not. I really, you know, what the pastor said this morning makes a lot of sense to me, but I never heard it put that way, right? You know, heaven's not going to get better because we're there. God's already there. And, you know, again, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, probably should have occurred to me sometime over the past 67 years. You know, God lays things out for us when He does, because He's God. Remember, we talked about this in Acts 6. The Hellenistic Jews felt like they were getting the short end of the stick, and Peter said, let's put together a group of leaders, deacons, to be able to address the issue. You know, folks, be still and know I'm God. Man. God doesn't do favorites. I think I've told you about the young lady that I work with that has the sign. I've told you all this. The sign on her desk that says, God loves all His children. I'm His favorite. I'm like, nice sign. You know, I need to get one of those. Because, you know, realistically, you don't need this. And so the thing is, no, there's no such thing as favorites. He cannot love us anymore. He cannot love us any less. In spite of all of the reasons we give Him to do so, He will not love us any less. Every nation, those who fear and do what is right and acceptable. Folks, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Matters not what your political affiliation is. You know, God set all of that up. Now, I would guess He may not be happy with what we've done to that. I probably don't have to guess that. Power, you know, a lot of times we take a lot we warm and fuzzy feelings, whatever the smarter term for that is, in the fact that we're one of the most powerful nations on the face of the planet. Not even a blip on the radar for God. He gave it to us. He can take it back, right? All of the armies, the shields, the tanks, the you name it, matters not. Everyone who fears and obeys, a radical, scandalous statement to make, shakes the very foundation in order to pave the foundation, right? Folks, He had to shake it. He had to shake it up because we weren't doing a very good job with it. That's why He had to send Jesus, right? You know, all the it always makes me speechless. Apparently, to think about the fact that you know we clamor for the law, and yet they couldn't meet the requirements of the law. We needed Jesus. But not just for the Jews, for, yeah. And so had to shake the foundation in order to pave the way back. Folks, the message of the gospel. Jewish leadership were none too happy about this. You know, and if you think about it, you kind of, when you have that new guy, right, that shows up and they're going to start working with you, you kind of have this thought, uh-oh, new guy, you know. And if I tell him all this stuff, that'll make the job easier. But then again, he'll know what I know and I won't be needed. And maybe we won't tell him everything he knows. Again, different lesson, folks. Be glad to talk to you about it. I think we stink at the progression within organizational structure in the United States. We just don't do it very good. That usually they try to cram probably 25 or 30 years of experience into the 2 weeks between here's my notice and I'm leaving. Just not likely to happen, right? And so they couldn't see beyond their bias. They couldn't see beyond their prejudice, if you want to talk about it, right? I mean, they flat couldn't say, maybe there's something to that because it turned their world on its end. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad? Praise the Lord that God decided to let us be involved. Folks, the good news given by the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth. Faith is required. So folks, Acts 10, 37 to 43, you know the events that took place throughout all of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went about doing good and healing all that were under the tyranny of the devil because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did, both in the Judean country and in Jerusalem. And yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day, caused him to be seen. Not by all the people, but by us who God appointed as a witness who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God, to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him through his name. Everyone who believes him receives forgiveness of sin. Peter did what Peter does best. Folks, the gift of Peter, just preach Jesus, right? The Kingdom Heirs have a great song, just preach Jesus. You're not sure what the path is? Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. That's our commission, isn't it? You know, God actually sent Jesus, the anointed Messiah, with the power of the Holy Spirit, doing good things and healing in the devil's face. And folks, I get the sense, you know, kind of maybe it's just being an honorary kid from the South Plains of Texas. But it was like, no, this is in your face because I'm going to win. I was at dinner last night with some good friends. And wonderful testimony that came along. We win, right? I mean, I don't think we act like it very much. Yet we actually act like we're powerless when we're not. You know, just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. Folks, seal the deal on the cross. It is finished, right? And oh, when he got up out of that tomb. Praise the Lord. Forgiveness, prophecy fulfilling, freedom from sin. Sin has no power on us anymore. Faith leads to acceptance. Acceptance to inclusion. Right? Folks, as we finish our time, Acts 10, 44 to 48, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and declaring the greatness of God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then he asked them, and then they asked him to stay for a few days. And so, folks, the Holy Spirit out on the Gentiles, and we see the Jewish leadership kind of doing what the kiddos today. What? You know, what's going on here? The curse of Genesis 11, right? Lifted at Pentecost, lifted here. There was speaking and people understood. Every nation of the world. You know, folks, Abraham was set apart by God through the covenant. Father of all nations. The Exodus, the nations would be freed from slavery. Solomon would build the temple. God is the creator of all heaven and all nations. The act instead of the acts is what the Jewish leadership is focusing on. Right? The act, I happen to be of the Jewish faith. I happen to be circumcised. I happen to have all of these things that make me a special deal. Right? The acts, no. I am God. I'll do what I want to do. Right? And so it's interesting that we kind of get knotted up on that. Right? I mean, don't we still do that today? Don't we kind of want our resume to look really, really good when we get to heaven? Like, oh my goodness, look at all this great stuff I did. I keep saying, folks, not going to matter when we get there. We're going to be praising Jesus 24/7 for eternity. But we still, in our frame of reference, from our perspective, we think, oh, wow, man, I kind of cut that guy off in traffic the other day. Might better do something good. I'll wave at him. Yeah. It's crazy that we have not come very far from where the Jewish leadership was, right? We still kind of feel like that it's the things we do. Instead of, again, conversation last night. Individuals said that their kiddos are having problems because they said, Christians just aren't very good people. And I'm like, okay. Not argument from me. No argument here. Folks, it's not the Christians. It's the Christ. The Christ actually died so that we could be forgiven, so we can enjoy eternity with Him, right? We're flawed failures saved by grace. We're going to be flawed failures saved by grace until the day we are either called home or Jesus comes back to get us. And so don't focus on the act. You know, focus on the acts of the Holy Spirit. God always intended that we would be included. There was never a thought in His mind, you know, maybe that Rex guy. No, even that Rex guy. I may have to work on him, but he's included, right? The acts of the Holy Spirit prove, folks, even in 2024, He's not changed His mind. Praise the Lord. The ends of the earth. Responsibility of the body of believers. Right? We've said before, folks, when in some of the lessons that you've been very fortunate to let me be involved with, but God decided He was going to do this using us. And while we may think, oh my goodness, are we stumbling across the one and only mistake the God of the universe ever made? No, God doesn't make mistakes, right? He laid it out with us in mind to be able to extend the kingdom. Includers? You know, I did the, when I was looking for a job, I know we're running out of time, so I'm gonna wrap this up. When I was looking for a job, they told us to go do the Strength Finders. You guys ever done that? Strength Finders? It's kind of neat. It's not bad. I couldn't wait. I went in and you know, it's real simple. You read like 34 pages out of a little tiny book. And then you go online and you take this assessment. And then it comes back and it gives you your top five strengths. I was very disappointed with mine. You know, I wanted to be the best ever, great, you know, that actually the folks were going to come down with a cape that they were going to attach to my shoulders, and, you know, I was going to be this great guy. And one of the strengths was includer. And I remember thinking, Really? What does that even mean? And so I was kind of in a funk a little bit. You know, I think bologna sandwiches and pork rinds probably would have helped. But, you know, Donna was home, and so that was out of the question. And so I went, and there was this gentleman at the networking group that I went to that he gave his time. He's a coach. Used to be an American Airlines pilot. Brilliant man. I mean, I'm every time I hear him speak, I'm amazed at how much he knows. But he said, do you understand what what that means? And I'm like, it was my understanding there would be no questions. And so he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I teach classes. And he's like, you don't think including the class might be a good gift to have? I'm like, well, when you put it that way. And so, folks, you know, a lot of times we don't realize the honor that God bestows upon us in the ability to tell people about His Son. You know, reach out. Reach out. Peter's command showed up in baptism. You know, illustrate the outcome. You're a changed individual. It's what it's all about, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, sin, folks, sin's the common denominator. Common denominator, we've all got it. Fortunately, Jesus is the numerator. And it makes the difference between heaven and hell. So anyone that comes to faith must indeed be embraced by the body of believers, regardless of their background. Remember, the cross is the filler for the gap between our sin and holy God. I'm going to leave you with one more message from Mayberry. Folks, sometimes with regard to inclusion, we don't even know we want to be included. Rafe Hollister, in the episode 20 of season 3, he shows up, and Barney's going to sing. We've already talked about the futility in Barney wanting to sing. But he's trying to sing a song, I don't remember what it was, but Rafe is telling him, no, it goes the other way. And so he's working through, and Andy tells Rafe, why don't you go over and try out for this contest? And Barney, that's the one where he says, oh, Rafe, you don't want to embarrass yourself. And Rafe's like, well, why not? He says, what if they ask you to sing a cappella? And Rafe looks at him and he says, well, I don't know. And Andy asks Barney, he says, Barney, you know what a cappella is? And he says, yeah, a cappella, a cappella. You guys remember that, right? Well, what happens is he decides, you know what, I think I'm going to go sing. And, of course, he just knocks her socks off, right, wins. Then the ladies that had the contest decide he's a little too country to be, you know, our individual that's going to be paraded out. You know, what's Mayberry going to look like if we let Rafe Hollister sing? And, of course, you guys know every Andy Griffith episode ends happily, right? Folks, our episode ends happily. We win, right? And remember that as it rolls out, we're those ones that really didn't look like the one you would expect, right? To anyone but Jesus. Praise the Lord, the Gentiles got in on the deal, right? So, I'll leave you most inclusive scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever's everybody, folks. Okay? Be an includer this week. Find somebody to share the gospel with. And as Bill Bowerly used to say, remember, you're not on the implementation part, right? You're on the let them know and let God take over part. And so I think about him a lot. Great, great guy. Next week, folks, Dottie is going to take us through praying. Acts 12, 6 through 18, and I'm already looking forward to it, and I'm sure you guys will as well. Okay? You've been a blessing to me. I'm sorry I took you long. I sometimes suffer from unintended length of speech. So, you're a joy. You absolutely are the best class anywhere. Father, take us out this morning with renewed joy in the process you have put in place before time began. That I'm going to extend to the world, and I'm going to use my believers to be able to get it done. Father, praise you. Thank you so much for your patience, your grace, your mercy. And Father, most of all for Jesus, for loving us enough to pave that way back to you. Father, we look so forward to the day when we get to see you face to face. We ask all of these blessings through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.